Dear family, last Sunday, Jesus told us in the Gospel that there are two opposing minds, two opposing kingdoms, and therefore what the world considers riches, success, laughter, it's exactly the opposite in the kingdom of God. But now, the Lord wants to go deeper and unveil, remove the mask of the enemy so that we see and understand the nature of this spiritual battle. Remember the movie of The Wizard of Oz? And the wizard is behind smoke screens, hiding, and therefore the people in the land are afraid of him because they don't understand how he works, how he is. And so Jesus unmasks the enemy. Fool is the person who does not know that Satan exists, that does not know that we are in a spiritual battle, that we are all in a serious danger. The Lord wants us to know this. And he goes before us. He who is the eternal Word became truly man to go before us and bring us into victory, to bring us into complete deliverance. But we have to enter the battle. And notice that the gospel began by clarifying that the Lord was full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. He was being led to a time of prayer and fasting, a time to be with his Father alone. So, now we know something very important. The more we are seeking God, the more we are in a commitment with Christ, the more we are aware of being in a spiritual battle. Well, the devil is not going to waste time tempting those who are already in his camp. Those he leaves alone. Like, fine, go on, you're doing a great job. You know, the devil doesn't have to tempt us if we are already in mortal sin, in bondage. He'll make us think that everything's going well. And so, if you are experiencing temptations in your life, spiritual battle in your life, I will say to you, it's a good sign. That means that you're seeking Christ, that you're committing yourself to Christ. So the enemy is facing you in opposition, as he did Christ himself. And now let us look at the first temptation. It has to do with something very natural. Our natural needs, our natural hungers. Jesus, after 40 days, was hungry. He was committed to fasting, and the devil wants to break that. And so he tells him, turn the stone into bread. Well, that's not natural. Turning the stones into bread will require a miracle. So use your powers as God and break out of these limitations that you have as a human being. Don't be like everybody else in this world that has to go through hunger. And Jesus rebukes that with the word of God. One does not live by bread alone. And so that's why we enter into fasting, because we need to exercise by the power of the Holy Spirit by the power of Christ who is in us, authority over our own lives. So we are not driven by the flesh in any way. You know that hunger is just one way we're driven, isn't it? We're driven also to spend more time than we should with the internet, on TV, in many other things that in themselves could be good, but when they get out of control, well, then we don't have authority over our lives anymore. And it's sad to say, but now we're seeing people having marital problems because of the internet. We get caught up, and we don't realize the damage that is doing to us, and we put a computer before our spouse. And the Lord is wanting to give us back authority over our lives. And so he calls us to fast. Remember, on Ash Wednesday, the Lord warned us about the hypocrisy of fasting for appearance. But now, he himself is fasting, letting us know that there is a need for authentic fasting from the heart. And fasting not only of food, but of the other things that are controlling our lives. And most importantly, and the root of all, is fasting from our own ego, fasting from ourselves. And that's why the Lord will tell us later that in order to follow him, we must deny our very selves. Not to be annihilated, but that our very selves, therefore, will be under the authority of the Lord. We put to death the rebelliousness in us to give God authority over us. And so I would say most of us fall already in the first temptation. And the Lord is revealing this to us to give us now power, to encourage us so that we don't fall. And the second temptation has to do with the vocation of the Lord, which is to regain the world back to his Father by becoming the Lord of the world. Isn't it good that Jesus becomes the Lord of everything? Imagine Jesus governing over all the countries of the world. Wouldn't you want that? So the devil, knowing that this is the way things are going, you know, he's very smart and he really knows how to play chess, you know. So he's looking at the strategy and he says, look, I'll give it all to you. This is what you came for? I'll give it to you. Now, how can Satan give Jesus the world? Well, because when we sinned at the beginning, we who had received from God authority upon the world, we gave it to Satan. I'm not talking about the trees and the rivers and the flowers. I'm talking about the structures, the powers that are working in the world in opposition to Christ. That's the world. Governments, systems, the ways of the world that are against Jesus and that have to be recovered from the enemy so that we have Christ in all things. And so the devil wants to give it now to Jesus, but there's one condition. You first must worship me. And you know, that's also a temptation we often have. We want something that in itself is good, like maybe we're lonely, and maybe we need a good job, we need to pay our debts, we need to feed our family. There's many good things that we need to achieve. And so the devil comes and says, you know what? I'll give it to you, but you have to worship me. You see the temptation? You want something good, But first you have to worship me. How often we are tempted to take shortcuts, to have it the easy way, because after all, everybody's doing it, isn't it? Nobody's going to know. It's not really going to make any problem for anybody. And we justify ourselves. Jesus, again, uses the Word of God to rebuke Satan. And now we see two powerful weapons that Jesus is using and teaching us, by the way, to do the same. Fasting, number one. And two, knowing and living and abiding by the Word of God. Pondering the Word of God, making it alive in our hearts and our minds. That is the power over Satan. But lo and behold, Satan is so smart. And he sees the pattern. Okay, this guy is using the Word of God against me. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll use it too. Isn't that amazing? Now we see Satan quoting scripture. He led him to Jerusalem, made him stand in the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written." Where is it written? In the Word of God. It is written, "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you." And then he quotes scripture again. "With their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Beware of the wiles of the enemy, quoting the Bible to make the bait look attractive, manipulating even the Word of God for his rotten intentions of causing division and death. That's Satan. So, as the Lord warned us, beware of false fasting, but yes, fasting is important. Now we also see, beware of the false use of the Word of God, but that doesn't mean you throw away the Word of God, please. What he means is that you respect it enough to be real about it and not use it, not manipulate it, neither allow yourself to be manipulated by it coming from others. And so we need to take the Word of God seriously and ponder it in our hearts and live it and not use it to justify ourselves. And that's why in his great mercy and wisdom, the Lord gave us the church with the power of the Holy Spirit to protect her from error when she teaches the Word of God, the magisterium, the teaching office of the church. Also in this third temptation, we see a great danger for Jesus that he had to overcome. He's now facing a very difficult path that would lead to the cross. He will be rejected, mocked, tortured to death. You know what Satan is doing? He's saying, "You don't have to do all that. You are the Son of God. Just jump from the highest place in the temple." You know, this corner in the temple and the walls that is the highest of all. "Throw yourself from there in view of all the people of Jerusalem, and they'll know who you are. Instant quit. No suffering, no pain, no cross. It's done." That sounds good, isn't it? But that was not the will of the Father. And destruction, sin, everything bad that we know came from disobedience at the beginning. That's what sin is all about. And the way that Jesus is going to restore it is through loving obedience to the Father in everything to the end. And that's what the devil is trying to avoid. Do whatever you have to do, but do it your way. Do it easy, painlessly. Avoid the cross. Have we ever been tempted like that? To avoid suffering, to avoid the cross? Because we may lose friends, because we may lose something we really are attached to. And so, at the beginning of Lent, not only does the Lord tell us that we are in a tremendous battle, but in His loving mercy, He unmasks the enemy. By the way, the enemy doesn't like this. He doesn't like to be unmasked. He much rather work behind the curtains. He much rather make you and I think that he doesn't even exist. Much less to allow us to know his tactics. So now he's uncovered. And now we know that in Jesus Christ, we have the power to overcome him. So what are we afraid about? But the fact that we should not be afraid does not mean that we should be presumptuous. We have to take seriously this battle because we are made of flesh and bones and we are weak. And so our defense is to cling to the Lord for life, trust in Him for life, not to separate ourselves from Him ever, to know what is at stake and to put our hearts into this. Prayer, knowledge of scriptures, union with Christ in all things, and knowledge that we are in a battle with a great enemy who is using the wiles of the world, the logic of the world, against us. Let us, brothers and sisters, be courageous. Let us be united with Christ so that we can overcome with Him. Amen.